Hello. Welcome to the Therapy Thursday podcast. I'm your host, Kelly Yu, and every single Thursday, I learn lessons from my own therapy sessions and I share them with all of you. I'm so ready to go through and grow through so much with you. Let's go. Hello, it's Therapy Thursday again. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Kelly.
How are you doing? What's going on, girl?
Oh, man, I have an oh, please for you.
Oh, go into it. Let's do it.
Oh, please.
Oh, please.
This is kind of an embarrassing one because it is so fixable. But a couple months ago, you and I were talking about bad habits, and you were talking about sleeping with your phone in your bed or like right beside you. And I was on my little high horse being like, I never sleep with my phone in my
room.
Did
you say that really?
Not like that, but I was like, I have made a really good habit of putting my phone to plug in. Remember that. And so I have recently changed that because I have to wake my son up for daycare typically. And I hate alarm clocks. I have a weird thing where the buzzing sounds, I just find
it's triggering. Sound of it reminds me of when I was a kid and I had to go to school. That's why I hate the sound.
It's just really harsh. And so I wanted to start my day in a more pleasant manner, I guess. So recently I've been sleeping with my phone under my pillow, which has led me, like a psychopath. Like it's really bad.
That's not necessary, is it?
Well, so we have a bigger bed and we don't have like a bedside table on my side of the bed just because our room is a little bit small for our bed, but we won't give up a king. We just refuse. So I don't have a bedside table.
That's honestly very smart and healthy. I support.
Yeah, it's like bedside table or king size bed. I'm going to take the king size bed, but I just should get a shelf. That's a good point. Anyways, I've been sleeping with my phone under my pillow, which has led me to like late night Reddit rabbit holes and like weird watching shows on Netflix when I can't sleep instead of just trying to let my body relax. So my oh please is like I'm begging myself to break out of this habit, and I'm sharing it with you for some accountability because I need to fix this.
So I'm curious how that works though when your husband's sleeping next to you. Do you use headphones like when you're whiling out late at night on your phone?
Yeah. So my husband is working on completing his master's right now. So he is usually in bed way later than me. So I honestly have no accountability. Like I can lay in bed and I'll fall asleep often before he even comes to bed. But I have no accountability because if I want to watch a show for 2 hours, he's probably not going to be in bed by the time I fall asleep.
Yes, that's the problem with me living alone too. I don't have anyone who is like, maybe it's time for us to go to bed. And I do fall in and out of habits. Like I'll go to bed at 10 for a long, 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 long time. And then all of a sudden I'll find a show that I really like. And that keeps me up till 1 a.m.
Right. And I don't even, the funny thing is I'm not even watching like a new show that I can't stop binging. I'm literally rewatching the same shows.
What shows?
Always RuPaul's Drag Race. So I'm just rewatching another season, me hanging out seventh or eighth time, still like just watching it in bed or, you know, scrolling on Reddit or whatever. And instead of just like putting my phone to charge in another room, which I used to do and was super healthy for me, I'm now waking up with my phone under my pillow. Then the first thing I do is check my email. Like it's just become this spiraling habit that I need to break out of. Need. So, oh, please, Danny, figure your shit out. Find an alarm clock that isn't jarring to you in the morning and get it together.
That's such a good one. And this is, I'll get to my oh, please in a minute. But the funniest thing is when I was in high school, nothing could get me to be on time for school. I was like super just one, hated it. And two, was in a deep spiral of depression, which obviously we didn't know. I figured I was just a lazy loser, you know, who couldn't get their life together, you know. And that's so I ended up getting this alarm that legitimately vibrated loudly and hard, like so it would wake me up by movement, not just a sound. And the alarm was so jarring, and it also lit up. that is the kind of alarm that I had when I was in high school. And then I got so angry at it that I would disrespect it by snoozing it a bunch. Like, I mean, like disarming it is like
disarming. But also disrespecting the alarm, being you have no value.
It was trying so hard. And I would just probably, I think I've definitely thrown it on the floor many, many times. But, oh. Okay, I had a different oh please, but now you're with what you're saying is really making me realize too. Oh please, when I feel like I'm running out of energy and time to focus on stuff, I never take the time to sit in that, and I will immediately put something on, like a YouTube podcast. Like that is my addiction. When in my head I'm like, oh please, I need to just unplug for a second so I don't feel overwhelmed and I truly can get back down to center to think about, okay, what do I really want to accomplish right now, or what would genuinely bring me joy. And in my head I can sense a little voice in me going, please just like unplug, and I can't. And that's something that's nice to hear you say. In a way, it's comforting to know, okay, at least, because I'd really judge myself for that. I feel like, come on, dude.
I think especially in a time when we feel like burnout shouldn't happen because we're home all the time and, you know, we're working from home or whatever, it's like, why are we feeling like so overwhelmed? Like we're home all the time. We're not going to the office. We're not doing whatever. But I think a big piece of this year for me, and I don't know if you can relate, is I just feel like it's been impossible to set goals. Like, have you been goal setting this year since 2021 started? Also, isn't it weird to say 2021? Like, did 2020 just not happen? I forget.
I agree with you on that. It is this feeling of just being stuck and stagnant and feeling so much guilt and confusion about the fact that you're burnt out, but you're just sitting a lot. That's what I think about a lot. My only goal was the podcast, which is amazing because right now you are listening to our Therapy Thursday podcast. That's been a huge goal of mine for honestly 3 years. It just felt too intimidating to do, but luckily Danny and I met by doing the Therapy Thursday live show, and then we just kind of built a team. Let me tell you all something. If you want to accomplish anything in your life, it is hard to kind of bite the truth bullet of you have to really invest your brain and your time and your money and build a team. That's something a lot of people don't tell you. But those were goals of mine too, is to let go of being so controlling and let go of being so afraid to try new things. In my therapy, that was a huge thing we would talk about every single week, on how there's so many things that I want to do because I just want to get in my way all the time because I'm scared of failure. And failure is a big part, I think, Danny, about burnout too. Do you feel a fear of failing? And when you feel burnt out and exhausted and don't want to do anything, does that also make you feel the F word too?
Isn't it funny that like I'm way more scared of failing than I am of being burnt out? Like I have no fears of being burnt out. I can live comfortably, well, not comfortably, but I believe I can live comfortably in burnout for a really long time. Mm-hmm. But the minute I'm posed with the idea of failure, I just feel sick to my stomach.
Oh, totally. Because to be totally honest with you, burnout is something we're already always feeling and doing. So burnout is also very glamorized and seen as you're amazing and hard worker.
Yeah,
and
you can't be successful without being burnt out every once in a while, right? Like that's kind of the narrative we receive a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm. Grind culture is so genuinely a very, very big source of pride that I had. And that's a problem that I've had before having a career and stuff, even when I was in school, when I was in college. You know, I just thought that working myself to the ground and being like, oh, I'm so exhausted, was almost like making me feel better about myself. It was like an identity.
I think that's really interesting because I've been thinking a lot about healthy goal setting and like avoiding burnout and avoiding the fear of failure. And what I find is oftentimes what we see on social media or like people who promote goal setting, it becomes such a grind culture mentality. Like I find it very challenging to find good examples and healthy influences when it comes to goal setting. Do you find that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do, because here's the thing. When you even say the words goal setting, I'll start getting intimidated. And the problem with that is we always take something positive that feels encouraging. But unfortunately, you'll take it as a reflection on yourself and think, I'm too scared to think about positive moves for myself. And that's right. When you got to catch yourself and go, no, it's nice to think about the future and cool things you can do. It doesn't have to equal analyzing and criticizing where you are now. Setting a goal is you being excited about living more and right. doing things that will make you happy. It doesn't mean that, oh, you're not doing it now. That's the catch that we forget to kind of notice.
Yeah. And we always think of accountability as something that's so scary or like menacing, right? Like the word accountability, I always think about, you know, you have to hold yourself accountable, or this person is my accountability partner. It feels mm-hmm. very intense and harsh and almost pressuring. too committal, right? Like there's too much mm-hmm. commitment there. And so what I think about with goal setting and where I'm trying to like really shift my mindset around failure is that accountability, although intimidating and scary, is so necessary, and it's not a bad thing. You know, it doesn't have to be a negative thing.
The thing about burnout we might not even realize is it doesn't just mean you're tired. It means that you're not feeling excited about something. So
such a good point.
What motivates you to do work and not feel burnt out if you don't have something that you're working for that will bring you joy, fulfillment, and hitting a goal? You know, that's why going on a walk and finishing that walk feels like a huge success. Like when you start, you're like, and then when you're done, you're like, yeah. You know, we forget that all the good feelings that come from accomplishing something. It's really hard to, we can't really blame ourselves because we're all really used to instant gratification just because everything on our phones and computers kind of just programs us to be like, I don't want to think about too far in the future.
Right. And I think it's important to remember that this year has been really challenging because it has been hard to look into the future. You know, in the past, let's use traveling as an example. Setting a goal to travel somewhere felt really doable because you could set a financial goal, you had a timeline, you knew what you had to do to complete that goal. And so it just felt like more manageable in some ways. And I think this year, for a lot of us, it's become unmanageable. And I can 100% say that all of my burnout from this last year has been completely created because I've had a lack of direction and a lack of guidance through goal setting, right? Like every time I can think of my deepest moments of burnout where I just couldn't bring myself to do anything anymore, it was really because I was spinning my tires and stuck, you know?
Yeah, you're running and you don't know where you're going.
Yes.
And on top of that, you can sense the fact that you are not even setting yourself up to feel supported by your own schedule.
All the time.
Anything. Yeah.
Do you ever just like look at what you're doing? You're like, what is this for? Mm-hmm. Like, why am I doing this? You know,
right.
Why am I putting so much energy into something when I have no idea where it's headed? And I think I've always been the type of person to just take it, like roll with the punches, see where it's going to take me. I am an opportunist. So I see opportunity where others may not. I'm not really afraid of trying new things. This year, that's been almost to my detriment because the lack of direction that I've given myself has now allowed me to say yes to probably way too many things. It's made me feel like if I can't complete those things, I'm a failure, even though I haven't given myself any guidance or steps or help to actually succeed in any of those things. Like, isn't that crazy to say? Like, I'm like, oh my God, I'm failing, right. But I'm not doing anything to fix why I'm failing.
Yeah, I noticed too this week, I've realized the only reason I feel scattered is because I get too much anxiety to just write myself a fucking list. If I write myself a list, it's my brain genuinely perceives it as this. If I write it out, it makes it too real and that I get overwhelmed by the list. That's not really true because you're trying to run around all day trying to remember what you have to do. And then you never feel like you're getting anything done because you don't give yourself the evidence. So when I didn't even write a list today because I had that same mindset of like, oh, I just want to like do what I need to do. But when you don't have that structure, you don't feel like you're supported. And that's why you feel burnt out because you're just like running on fumes when you just need to feel a little sense of control, and you can take control. It feels good to take control, but we forget that facing yourself is probably the biggest hurdle. By writing that list, you're facing yourself. How dumb is it that that little moment just can make or break your day?
And that's just like the small thing, right? Like that's like a daily goal or a weekly goal. Like I, you know, thinking about the big picture, I have not been in a position mentally to make a goal for myself more than a couple weeks in advance. Like, isn't that wild to think about? If I'm being completely honest with myself, if you were to be like, Danny, what's a goal you have for the end of the year? So December, right? It's the it's the summer now.
Don't even ask me that.
I'm like, nope. Like, no. I don't want to think that far. I don't want to have to justify anything. Why? I think it's because then I have to look really hard at what I'm doing right now and dissect it and
That's exactly what we're saying is that doesn't mean that.
But it does in my head.
It doesn't have to mean that.
Right? Like, I know, in my head, if I have a goal for December, let's say, and I'm like, okay, Danny, like, this is your goal, then I have to rearrange probably a lot of the bullshit in my life that's getting in the way.
Oh.
You know? Yeah. I'll give you an example of this, like, in a short-term example. I really have been wanting to work on moving my body more, and not just in going for walks. Like, I really wanted to be able to stretch every day or whatever, right? I also really like to tune out. I get so tired at like 7:30 to like 8:30 when I should be like, you know, tidying and getting organized so that I can spend that hour afterwards stretching or moving my body. Mm-hmm. And when I write it down and I look at it on a list, I get like mad at myself because I'm like, oh, I just want to be able to just sit on the couch and not do that. But like in reality, I feel so much better when I actually move my body and not like just sit on TikTok for 45 minutes. The short-term goal for me, like I can't even bring myself to do it right now because it's just so frustrating. And I think that that is like legitimate burnout where it's just like you don't even trust yourself to like try. It's easier not to try.
And then the part that's so helpful is when you want to judge yourself for the fact, I'm catching on to the fact that you said should, right? You said a minute ago, you said, when I should tidy up so that I can stretch after. The should, as well as the guilt that you have when you realize that you just want to sit down and do nothing, we have to not judge that process because that, like you said, that is exactly what burnout means. And when I have had a lot of here's Danny, I relate to you so much saying that because I reflect a lot on my past of when I was like so able to just like work out every day or get a billion things done and go to bed and feel fine. I feel so envious of my old self and I don't think I'll ever get it back. And it sucks.
And it's almost funny because like listening to you hear you say that, my initial reaction is, well, just don't be that person. Just work on finding a balance. But like I would never say that to myself.
Right. Because you're just thinking in that moment, Danny, it's really not that hard to stretch to just do it.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. So instead of being like, okay, find the balance. Like if you're not able to do it every day, then write it down to do it twice a week and commit to those 2 days a week, right? But right now I'm just like, well, I used to be able to do it 5 days a week, exactly what you're describing. And so I just get frustrated with myself and I give up before I even...
Yeah, the extreme thinking of you get fed up with yourself. I don't want to face this, so I'm going to eliminate it so I don't have to process that process because it's so unpleasant. And that's so nice to hear, though, that you at least mentioned you could space it out to be like, okay, only 2 days of the week. I'm not going to expect to do it every single day because I can't even get myself to do it once a month. So,
like, and that's the thing about the goal setting, right?
What if you said once a month?
And do you ever find then you're just like, what a joke, Danny, once a month? Like, you're like, really? But you're not wrong. It's like, okay, if you're not doing it at all, why does once a month feel so ridiculous?
Failure.
Yeah, 100%. I'm curious with you kind of touching on the goal that you did set and how, you know, the podcast has come to fruition. How has the fear of failure really impacted your process of going through this? Of like really achieving a goal and doing it?
Oh, it's terrifying to me because one, I'm such a huge fan of podcasts. And I feel like when you try to do something that you revere so much and you really like, I'm comparing myself to people that have been podcasting for like 10 years.
Literally years. She's like, let's make NPR. Like, let's just do it. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. I've had so much fear and it set me back so much, especially because it costs money, it costs time. But the biggest cost is you having to change and grow and evolve. I talked a lot about my fear of doing a podcast with my therapist. And the biggest cost to me was actually abandoning the anxiety and tension that I'm so used to holding that prevents me from moving forward and having a goal. Because I'll just sit in the analysis of like, oh, I'm too scared and I'm frustrated. And like, I'll talk so much about how scared I am. But the point is, when you really do want to do something, you sometimes really do just have to jump. I mean, just commit to it. And with you, Danny, you were that accountability person because I would tell you things even if I really didn't want to and say, I need you to push me because I really don't want to follow through on these goals that I'm setting because I'm terrified. I forced myself to stop enabling my own issues because I used to really just stay quiet and then I'd try to let time pass and then I didn't really fail because I kind of just didn't try. But now with you, I said, I don't want to be like that anymore, but I can't change alone. Like I need help.
Yeah. 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 That's like a very real thing to feel, right? Like it's so much easier just not to start, but I am so proud of you despite whatever fears you have coming out of this. And I want to say that throughout this process, you haven't wavered from your level of perfectionism or your commitment. And I'm not saying that as an insult, but I think it's so funny because, like, you know, you see your perfectionism as sometimes a hindrance, which it is. It can really play itself into stopping you from getting things done or wanting to pursue new things. But in the same way, I think you've allowed it to become an asset in this process where you hold yourself to an incredibly high standard. You have pursued excellence in a lot of areas here where I think if you had let it just eat you away, you would have never started. Instead, you've been like, I'm going to channel this energy into producing something really great for my audience and for myself. And so I think that while sometimes that manifests in a way that can cause you to have anxiety or can make you feel lesser than, or the imposter syndrome that you discussed about, you know, all these people who are amazing podcasters, how can I even compare? You did. Like, you did it. Mm-hmm. You went out and you said that you were going to do it and you found a person to help you with that. Hello, it's me. And, you know, we found a team to support us in that. And they've been amazing. And I think that that's the really cool thing about the goal setting piece is when you actually start it, to see what comes out is pretty incredible.
Oh, Danny, thank you so much. I'm really working on actually receiving all that you said, and it would not be possible without you at all. I mean, there's just no way. Danny is my spine to this. Danny keeps me feeling strong and remembering who I am. You are just, and let me tell you all something. When you have goals and you're pursuing them, it's not supposed to feel good. Every day I'm still nervous and scared and anxious, but what makes you feel good is pushing through them while acknowledging them and still moving forward. That's what goals are. A lot of us think that once we're pursuing something that will eventually be a success for us to feel like we made an achievement that we didn't think we could. It feels anxiety provoking to me still. And I don't necessarily enjoy every part of it, but that's not the goal. The goal is I derive so much happiness and self-esteem watching myself change. And that can be the goal for yourself that you set for this year, right? Is I want to break these patterns. We're forgetting, like, we're always like, maybe I want to do yoga more. Maybe I want to watch TV less. How do you write a goal? It's like, I want to change.
Right. No, I think you're so right. And I feel really encouraged by that because I think my goals have always been tied so much to a particular outcome, something like really particular, right? That you can like really gauge and it has a very strong metric. There's things that are a little bit more passive that I think are super important as well. You know, like what you're talking about, the changing, you committing to this podcast. It wasn't just the podcast that was the goal, right? That's one piece of it. It was the transformational experience of challenging yourself, of not being afraid, of not feeling like an imposter, or when you do feel like an imposter, going through with it anyway. And I think that that piece of the process is really important.
Yes. And when you give your goals that genuine, because that is the truth of you setting a goal, give it that meaning, because for you, that is truly what it does represent. You wouldn't have whatever you're thinking right now as we're talking, any goals you're thinking about, those are things that you know you want for yourself. And the only thing holding you back is the fact that you haven't practiced that muscle to withstand the discomfort that you're not used to yet. So your goal is to learn to be okay with that, because those are already parts of you, right? That, yeah, man, that was the goal that I set with my therapist, is I can't keep living like I'm not alive.
Yeah. I love the what you said about flexing the discomfort muscle, because it is something that takes practice. I think the people that are highly successful and motivated in their life, it's not just because they can check things off a list. It's because even when they don't check things off the list, they can sit in that discomfort and face it, right? And this year, I think I always had been okay with, like I said before, trying new things and almost failing in a sense. What I wasn't good with was feeling uncomfortable through the process. I just wanted to get to point A, you know? I didn't want to have to try really hard to be in the discomfort. And you're so right. It's a muscle that takes, like, it really needs to be flexed. It needs to be practiced.
Flex on them. Hi, this is gonna get real for a sec. Do you ever cry after self-pleasure? I'm seriously asking, because that was me after a breakup last year, and it's embarrassing to admit, but it's honestly normal. That's what my therapist says, and if she's lying to me, I really don't care. It helps very much. But it didn't help at all that I wasn't watching porn at that time, so I would just fantasize about my ex. And also, I have never found porn that really felt real, safe, or hot enough all in one. But I committed to my search, and I discovered Cheeks. Oh my God, the hottest life changer ever. The Cheeks website is a safe space for everyone curious about sexual stimulation and education. It's also the first sex positive site that's actually ethical and sexually diverse, consensual, and everyone is verified to be over 18 years old. Cheeks is the freaking best and gave me the code Kelly for you to try 14 days free at getcheeks.com. That's GETCHEEX.com. So please have fun with yourself and stop fantasizing about your ex. Use code Kelly for 14 free days at GetCheeks. That's GETCHEEX.com. And if you love it, which I know you will, you're going to want to have the full year subscription like me. Like, hi, yeah, I need more than 14 days of this amazingness. Thank you. And it's only $6.90 for the full year, and you can cancel that at any time. So please enjoy. I mean it. Stop fantasizing about your ex. You got this. We got this. It's super nice to notice that we are just afraid of doing something when we don't know what's going to happen. And the point of life is you're not going to know. And you can't make it something you're definitely going to know how it ends. And that's the hard truth that you got to swallow every day, is there's no guarantees. And that's why you have to feel excited about you trying things just for you. And you don't want to live a life not flexing that muscle. Thank you so much for listening to Therapy Thursday. And we will talk to you next Thursday. Bye.
Vent here. This is the part of the show where we react to your vents, and I absolutely love giving you all the space to share what you're feeling, what you're going through right now, anything that might be bugging you, or something really cool that's gone on in your life. We are going to react and respond right now.
Okay,
So you all know how much we love hearing vents from you. And I asked you all if you've been feeling burnt out. So Danny is going to read your vents right now.
This one, I think, is very relatable for people, not just with school, but with work. This person says, it's taking me 5 years instead of 3 to finish my college diploma. I feel so judged by everyone.
Oh, that's such a real thing to feel like if I'm not following this path that it seems like a lot of people have, it doesn't look the way that it's portrayed, that you're doing it wrong.
Can I share something very interesting with you that I just found out from a person I met this year? So I went to go get my nails done, and the woman who was doing them was so wonderful. She was just so friendly, and we were chatting about, you know, what she does. So I kind of asked her, I said, how long have you been an esthetician? And she said, you know, I just do this part-time. I am also an artist, and I'm a farmer, and I'm in school. And I said, whoa. Oh, what are you in school for? And she said, you know, I take classes that I find really interesting, and I just take them one at a time. Most of them are in biology and in health sciences and really have to do with either like science of the earth or science of the body. And when it's all said and done, I'll have a degree in sciences. But I've been doing this for 5 years, and it's been the best way for me to immerse myself in the content and also enjoy it. And I'm just not in a rush to get a degree. And
wow.
I just thought that was such a fascinating way to look at education, because she's very, very intelligent. She genuinely loves every class that she's taking, and she's just absorbing the information. Like she said, I just don't believe in putting myself through the regurgitation of school, like just taking as much information as possible and spitting it back out, which is what a lot of university and college is, right?
That's all we do. That's all I did. And thank you so much for telling us that, because I've never heard of that being a thing.
Yeah.
I was only going to give an example of, like, you know, some people who take time off because they realize school was so overwhelming, because there is no way, especially when I was – how old was I when I went to – how old are we when we go to college? 17, 18?
18, yeah.
Yeah. When I'm 18 to 20-something and you're taking how many hours and you're trying to build your identity, how are you even going to absorb anything? I felt so envious of other college students who were remembering stuff. Do you remember college stuff, Danny? Like, do you remember what you learned?
From certain classes, yes, things will really stick out to me. But for the most part, no.
Yeah. And I feel like taking your time, and maybe this person also doesn't feel great in – because maybe they're not choosing like to pace it out this way.
Right.
And that's okay too, though, because everyone does have their own pace. And I know that doesn't feel that comforting because it feels so cliche, but going at your own pace is the way to go, because when you try to change the way that your brain works or what works for you, it's not going to work.
And remember the goal, like what's your outcome with this, right? Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, is it really going to matter if you took 3 years or 5 years or 7 years when the outcome is, you know, essentially going to be the same? Like, was there any benefit to graduating the way that you did? Not really. Or that, you know, it was just like, it was just you got there faster. And so encourage yourself to remember why you started the journey and what your long-term goal is for yourself.
Boom.
Do you ever feel this way, Kelly? This person says, I feel so bored sometimes. Like, there is so much going on, but I'm still so bored. What is my life?
That is truly the definition of one of the biggest symptoms of burnout is indifference. You no longer feel passionate or excited. I have felt that way so much this year, where I am so busy, I'm so stressed, I'm so anxious, so overwhelmed, but I'm bored as fuck. Nothing makes me really excited. Nothing also makes me really upset. You're just not even riding a wave. You almost feel just numbed out.
Yeah. I think people forget that boredom doesn't necessarily equate with nothing to do. Like people, when we're kids, because we hear the word bored when you're a kid and you're like, Mom, I'm so bored. I have nothing to do. Like that's what you think about, right? As an adult, boredom often means you're just uninspired. So you could still have a list of things to do. We never have stuff that – we never have an empty list, right? Like as an adult, when do you ever just have nothing to do? Very rarely. Like very rarely.
And I really hate when people
you know, even sometimes if my therapist goes, well, do you need something in your life that makes you excited? It's like, I know, but the hard part is when you're so bored and indifferent about life, adding another thing to your plate, even if it will totally bring serotonin, dopamine, and all the good feelings, it's hard for you to truly believe in how much that will help. Yeah. But I need to reinforce that to all of you. It is so true that you do need to either subtract something that's causing you to be so burdened, or you do need to add something to switch it up.
And we've talked about this of as being something that it doesn't have to be like a hobby. Like people,
no, it doesn't.
People are like, okay, am I taking up painting now? Like, am I going to do pottery? Do I learn like TikTok dances? Like, what is the thing for me? And I genuinely believe sometimes it's just like, okay, I'm going to make time to cook for myself once a day, or I'm going to make time to get really good at making myself a cup of coffee, or, you know, like whatever it is, it can just be a daily task that provides you a sense of freedom from your overwhelming list of things to do. It can be something that makes you feel proud of yourself because you've accomplished it or you're getting good at it. Mm-hmm. That's a big piece of it.
Even the tiniest thing is, can you move your desk to a different part of the room? Can you turn your chair a certain way? Do you want to sleep on the different side of the bed? Like, we don't even think about how these small things, you just got to change how permanent everything feels. That's where boredom lies.
Yes. That's a really good way of looking at it. This one, I think you and I might have really different opinions on this. So I'm curious to know your thoughts.
Okay.
This person says working for a paycheck instead of a passion.
Oh, yeah. Literally, that's been me as a person ever since I was younger, unfortunately.
So do you think that every single person needs to be passionate about what they do?
No. Do you?
No.
No, not even a little bit.
Yeah, okay, cool. We're on the same page. I hate this idea. I think it is actually really, really toxic to convince every single person that their job needs to be fulfilling in every single way. Because there's a lot of people who are really happy with the money that they make and the hobbies and the extracurriculars that they have outside of work. And work is just something that they do. I kind of wish I was that person sometimes.
We've talked about this. Like, how cool would it be if we allowed ourselves to just Danny, we've both worked in the service industry, right? So what if we just went back to doing things like that? Like being a waitress, being a barista, even me when I washed dishes, like I didn't have to think about what I was doing and then I'd make some money and then I'd continue living my life. But the hard part is the capitalist society we live in, the economic pressures we have, and also ego is like, I have an ego that tells me I can't do that, which I don't know. It's just so ingrained in so much of what we see.
You know what I think is such a contributing factor? I'll just start.
Okay, that kind of revved my engine. I like it. Keep going.
I hate these drag racers on my street. So I'm just so over it. Okay, you know what I find actually really, really toxic to burnout culture, and like part of a big contributing factor to burnout culture is that 9-to-5 jobs have now been painted as kind of the enemy. Like having a 9-to-5 job is seen as just like, what are you even doing with your life if you're not side hustling, if you're not working towards something for yourself, if you're not passionate about what you do. And I hate the sentiment. And I don't know if you experience this. I maybe experience it because, you know, I started a small business last year. So I'm surrounded by other people who are also in small businesses or are trying to pursue entrepreneurship. And by no means do I think that I am, you know, at the top of my game. I think I'm such a novice. But what I see happening in this circle a lot is this idea that a 9-to-5 is just the most soul-sucking, unfortunate thing you can do with your life. And I don't believe that's true. I think a 9-to-5 works really well for a lot of people and provides them with stability and allows them to have a lot of hobbies and freedom outside of their work that we kind of treat as, well, what are you even doing if you're not working for yourself?
Oh, Danny, this is legitimately exactly what I talked to my dad about last night. Yeah, fun fact, me and my dad hung out last night. Surprise! Shocking, right? I don't know if anyone knows anything about that, but you know, we all have complicated relationships with our parents, but it was very nice. We were talking a lot about, because, okay, he owns his own business. He created his own very successful business in Chicago. But when we were younger, he really wanted to be a musician. He's an actor. He's a playwright. He put on really successful plays in Chicago. He's pretty well known in that community. And that was like a dream. And being a creative person, like a lot of you probably listening to, we all have some kind of passion, but sometimes you just got to like, you know, end up doing work. He's lucky that he worked really hard to build a business and actually worked out for him. But the point is here, I was talking to him a lot about what I do. And I was like, you know, I'm starting to realize that I used to really think that quote unquote being normal was so bad. But that's because sometimes when we're younger, you know, when you watch Disney Channel or Nickelodeon, you're like, how cool would it be to not be quote unquote ordinary, aka boring? So I think that stuck with me for so long. And I was saying to him, it feels so weird for me to now view other people as having much more fulfilled lives, even though I always felt like it would be embarrassing to be ordinary. But it's so cool and healthy and nice to have a calm, stable life. And he said, yeah, same. He wanted to be a famous musician and all these things. And he said, there's nothing better than being regular
and stable. Like, I think, you know, it's interesting that you bring up this idea of not wanting to be ordinary. And I always, your word is ordinary. I always say mediocre. I always, even conversations with my husband, I'm like, I just don't want to be mediocre in my life.
Same. Oh.
But at the same time, that's my own perception of what mediocrity is. And it's stupid. It really is stupid because I can look at somebody who has a completely different career path than me and has what I would consider like an ordinary or mediocre job. Mm-hmm. And I would be like, that's not for me. And the reality is that probably works really well for almost everybody. You know, I think we have this idea that we need to be these superhumans that produce the most creative and interesting projects and we need to be so fulfilled by our work. But like, is that a lie that capitalism teaches us? Like that. Yeah. Our jobs need to be so intertwined with our passions because that's the only way to be fulfilled while making money. I don't know.
And mine personally, I was always driven by wanting to be special. Mm. And so me doing something that was out of the box somehow convinced my brain that I wasn't, because I didn't view myself as special or important. So for me, I tried to pursue things that seemed very unique, such as building a following and being someone like who's on the internet, where that chaotic lifestyle helps you feel like you're doing a bunch.
Yeah.
And
my gosh.
Yeah.
That topic of even just doing a bunch. Like, I think that we chase busyness rather than we chase actual success.
Correct.
You know, like we equate the two. We like really think about the busier I am, the more successful I appear or the more successful I feel. And that's just not true. That is not true.
No. So yeah. Wow.
I think on that topic, this last one here says, I feel stuck in my chosen career and dread the thought of doing this long term. So that's the flip side.
That's so real because it's also the worry about things being permanent.
Which nothing really is, especially these days. Like, I think about my parents, and my dad had the same job for 35 years before he retired. And, you know, he moved up in management a bit. He was a firefighter, so he was a captain and kind of hit, you know, pretty much all you can do without being the chief. You know, he did it all. But he was at the same job
That's
for 35
so cool.
years.
I didn't know your dad was I didn't know he was a firefighter.
Yeah.
How cool.
Yeah. So And you know, I can speak to my husband's parents have had the same jobs since they started working, both of them, like really entering the workforce. And I think a lot of our parents are similar. So we see that and we see, you know, staying within the same company your whole life till you retire. That's actually statistically not true anymore for the generations that follow them.
I think the hard part, though, is, for example, one of my friends who she went through law school, and one night, I don't know why I do ask her this a lot, and I'm very open with her. I just go, you know, I know I ask you a lot, but like, do you want to do this your whole life? Because
going through the process of something like law school, med school, vet school, it's like you put so much money and time into it. And I could see her doing something completely different. And she has like other passions, but she kind of does say she does like what she does. But she also does say, you know, I kind of do wish I like did that. And so I can understand why you're like, but I'm here now and I've worked so hard for it. And I think that maybe the person writing in too is like, I've built this career and I feel like it's hard to then jump to something else because one, changing your life is scary, too, expensive, you know, changing career path. So, but the point of what I love what you're saying, Danny, is at least here's what I'll say. The fear of permanence and the fear of also making a change still let your mind wander. How about
100%. 100%. I think, you know, when I speak about our parents in that generation, it was just not socially acceptable to move jobs a bunch. Like, it was really unusual for you to change your job. And you were seen as almost, you know, not dependable or flaky if you were constantly changing jobs. I don't think that's the case now. I think that there's a lot of cultural shift around, you know, making lateral moves in your career, changing careers completely. I think that is actually really normalized. And what I love what you said about, you know, your friend who's in law school. I have friends who are in med school, and I've thought similarly because I just can't imagine going to school for that long, truthfully. I literally cannot imagine. That is something I am so – it's so unrelatable to me because I'm just not that type of person. And, you know, in a different life, I almost wish I was because it is such a skill set to have. Mm-hmm. And I often think, you know, what are you going to do in – 20 years if you don't like this anymore and you've put so much in, even 10 years, even 5 years. But I think those people are so committed to helping others or wanting to make change or, you know, there's something about that that draws them in that they know that they can make a shift in a direction regardless. Like they know that they have that skill set in the future. So your friend who's a lawyer, that is, there's so much more about going through law school and being a lawyer than just actually practicing law. You know?
Right. Yeah.
That's the cool thing.
Well, here, I think this also ties back into what we said about kind of what we were saying about being very diverse and creative, and we want to always be busy and kind of have more creative outlets because you and I are just kind of that type. But I also, I was only in academia. I went to college, became an academic researcher, was doing that for 7 years. I became a research project coordinator of the project that I was doing since I was an undergrad. And then I applied for grad school to start doing my master's of social work, and then COVID hit. But what I was going to do is do my master's. But while I was pursuing my master's, I was still a research project coordinator. And during that time, I was meeting with other professors and saying, hey, could you write a recommendation for me? And they all said, oh, Kelly, you should just pursue a PhD. We would love to have you in the program. First of all, that's insane to hear because I always really struggled in school. So for someone to think that they would want to take me immediately as their PhD candidate is insane. But I couldn't commit because I was so afraid of the permanence of 7 years of school,
right.
5 to 7 years. I was so afraid of also being ordinary like all these other people, which is not how I view them. It's just my fear. And also, like you said, will I want to do this later? And the thing that I admire about people who do commit to things like PhD programs, med school, law school is that they are okay with the confidence in their interests of something. Yes. And so that's something I envy hardcore because I'm like lost running around. Like I know what I want.
So
I want
to be
like, I want to be a therapist, but I didn't start going to school yet. One, because when I start, I want to be with people in real life. So I couldn't do that yet with school. I didn't want to do it online, but also I'm too lost still.
It's hard to put out to the universe, even to yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, I want to pursue this and do this as a career. And A, feel like, okay, what if I change my mind and I have just, you know, fucked myself over by going into this program? Or on the flip side, being like, I am just too scared to even give it my best shot because there's too many other things I could miss out on. And I think you and I are very similar in the sense of like, what else is out there? What else could change my mind? You know? And I relate to that so fully. It actually makes me kind of feel like emotional in some ways because my biggest regrets from university is just not sticking with certain things, like not giving myself enough credit and enough structure to just stick it out. And it's something that I really think about all the time. Not all the time, but, you know, when we have these conversations around burnout and about careers and about our futures, I just always have this what if. And what I try to remind myself is that it's always there to go back. Like,
if you want your money, I'll take it.
Totally. And the change can always happen. I know it's a financial investment. I know it's an emotional investment. It's a time investment. At the end of the day, those things exist. And, you know, even using the example of my partner is now doing, you know, his master's program. Yeah. And it kind of came out of the blue, you know, when he approached me
about it.
Yeah, he was just like, you know, COVID had hit and we were really, really thinking about our lives. And he was like, I think this is the time for me to do it. And it wasn't out of the blue because he is an academic. He's super studious. He's a person that does school very, very well. He's very good at school. It was just more a surprise to me. Like, I always assumed that would come later when he like needed to mix things up, you know, like we've only been parents for just about two years now. At the time, our son was not even a year old when he pitched the idea to me. We were living through a pandemic. It was kind of interesting. I was like, you want to mix things up now? Okay. Like, you don't want to wait till your midlife crisis?
You're putting me in a blender. Like, you're straight up putting me through it. Okay.
But I was excited because it was interesting to hear somebody come forward and be like, I really want to invest this in myself. You know, that is super cool. That is super cool to have a conversation with someone and see them, even hearing you talk about, you know, your goals to go back in the future. Wow, to have the idea that I'm going to invest that in myself, I'm still really far off from that place, to be honest.
Well, I think it's a combination of two. You've hit other big goals that you've wanted for yourself too, and they don't all line up to kind of like what that other person, the first vent we read, was kind of like seeing how other people's lives line up. So you have your amazing kid and you have your own business. And so school in our mind thinks that goes before. And so it's kind of nice for us to even reflect on all of this and go, oh, it doesn't have to be that timeline. And my therapist even asked me, you know, when do you see yourself doing school? And I was like, I honestly really think that being totally honest with myself, I probably fall 2022 because I'm not ready yet.
Yeah.
But I want it to be not too far away.
Yeah.
So don't hold me to that, everyone. But I really think that's going to be the time. It just feels like that will be it.
I think it's fascinating to have conversations around burnout and recognize that so much of burnout is the web that we catch ourselves in. You know, there's a piece of burnout that's just the busyness and the physical piece. And then there's the piece of it that's, wow, we get so exhausted with the mental game we play with ourselves and we allow ourselves to be entrapped in these ideas about ourselves.
Yeah. And it's so weird that we're talking about feeling so tired and not wanting to do stuff and not feeling inspired. And that's why this episode, we really realized as we were outlining it that for me and Danny, we get burnt out when we don't know where we're going and we don't let ourselves dream. And so how weird is it that we ended this on such like a, and I can't wait to see what we do. I never thought that something like a burnout would take us there. I'm really excited for us. Hi everyone, I am so excited to be talking to you today about something that has been affecting me all day. And I feel so bad sometimes when things affect me all day because there's two parts of me that I've, thank God, developed in therapy. Well, okay, first of all, there's one part of me that has always existed, which is the inner critic, the half of me that's always just so mean to myself and judgy and figures everything's your fault. Get it together. Let's go. Come on. But thank God with therapy, now I realized how to identify that voice that's always pushing you in ways that are not helpful at all. And as I was observing my day, I'm going to tell you what my day was. I will walk you through the whole day, morning, evening, after I missed afternoon. See, that's just how tired and burnt out my brain is. I'm going to walk you through the whole day. And I really want to share this because I feel like the most real and relatable stuff that helps me most is just when I hear someone sharing without trying to impress.
And that's been a huge problem of mine. I'm going to try so hard during this to slow down and not try to really entertain you. That's a huge struggle that I have, is always feeling like I need to be making people always feel happy or seen or comfortable. And of course I want to, but I think that really takes away from me being my most authentic self, storyteller. So I'm just going to try to really do that. And I really want to hear from you if you feel like this is comforting, because I feel like we are friends. And I realize that when I feel really close to someone is when I feel like they're also feeling comfortable. And I think I've realized over this last year how so much of what we do, maybe at work or with our families or even in social relationships or on social media specifically, we're always acting a little bit. Not that it's fake, but you try to kind of make things more interesting or engaging. So anyway, I'm just telling you that I'm really going to try not to do that. It's going to be really hard for me, but I'm picturing you kind of next to me or in front of me when I talk anytime I'm filming anything or recording anything. So, okay. I've just been burnt out for so long, and I've been telling everyone in my life that, and I've been feeling like such a failure because there are definitely deadlines that are waiting for me that I'm missing or I'm pushing. I really just don't feel like doing a lot of these different tasks that are, you know, outside accomplishments. And I really think it's so interesting that for me, I'm not struggling as much to do the things that I need for my own self-care though. I really prioritize me going for walks or moving my body and getting enough sleep, watching shows that I like, making meals that I like, spending time with my family, my friends. Those were the goals that I always had for myself, to try to actually care about myself enough to do those things. But I've always been such a outward needing validation type of person. And it's normal to feel that way, right? Because we always have had to go to school and do work and do well, and you have to earn a living. So you do have to do things outside of yourself to be okay and do quote unquote well, or else you might end up not being okay because you know what I'm saying. And I think it's so interesting that I absolutely forget how far that so many of us have come with being able to actually give a shit about yourself. And if you are able to even get yourself to have breakfast, lunch, dinner, and go to sleep, a lot of times it's so hard for us to even try to take a shower, wash our face, brush our teeth. I've struggled so much with severe anxiety, depression, and eating disorders in my life that the basic bare minimum needs for a person I felt like I couldn't do and I didn't deserve. And then I would put a lot of work first, a lot of accomplishments first. When I was in college, I was a wreck. I tried to just get all A's and have every internship and job. I was washing dishes in a dining hall to make sure that I'd be okay. And my binge eating was at such an extreme. So there was no self-care happening there. I think a lot of us look at our lives and it feels like we should just be able to check every box, because there's so many aspects of a daily life that we have to get done, and it's so overwhelming. And I feel so annoyed by myself that I feel that way, because I genuinely compare myself to people. For example, I told my sister this the other day. I really do compare myself to her a lot, because I think a lot of times when I'm struggling with, oh, I'm not really that social, or it's really hard for me to go to all these meetings, I'm just like tired. I told her, I just look at her and I think, how do you just do it? And realistically, a lot of people just do it. And she was really moved by me saying, you know, I not that, that she wants me to compare myself to her, but it was nice for her to feel like someone sees that. But I feel almost like an alien sometimes in life, because I envy people who genuinely can just get it done And I honestly envy my old self because I used to be that person. Go, 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 nonstop. I didn't care if I never slept because I needed to get my work done. I needed to do this, that, this, that. I left myself behind. So that's probably why now I'm in this space of not being able to do everything because honestly, my brain tells me I don't want to push myself that hard. That's why I don't do it. And I've been learning to sit in that truth and take accountability just with myself and realizing, guess what, Kelly? Like, I don't even think it's because you can't do it all. Yes, genuinely, you're burnt out because you're feeling it emotionally, mentally, physically. But I think a bigger part of you is emerging that truly feels like self-care feels more important. And I feel so guilty about that because I think a lot of us just see success as the way to go. And success has so many different meanings, but this world we live in is so fast paced and it's always like, oh, what do you like to do? What's the next thing? What are you going to do next? What's the next job? What's your next role? Oh, what are you doing? It's always about achieving, it feels like, because that's how my brain always worked. So a lot of my fears about what I'm slacking in, lacking in, failing in are me projecting how I used to be and what I used to expect from myself. And this is a really scary place to be in. If you're in this place too, where you're transitioning into, holy shit, I actually care about myself and I might not be quote unquote accomplishing like I used to or I thought I wanted to. It's terrifying to think that you could feel possibly fulfilled by not being perfect, hardcore worker, successful, or just any picture you've painted for your life. When you're not following that anymore, you feel really, really lost. And when you are working a lot and then you get burnt out, it's pretty easy to then think, what is wrong with me? What is so wrong with me that I don't want to work so hard anymore? And that's what I'm going through right now. And I just think that we have to acknowledge all parts of it because it's easier to just jump to, wow, something is so wrong with me, beat myself up throughout this day, keep walking through the day thinking, when am I going to get energy? What should I do that later? Should I write that thing later? Should I send that email later? When am I going to get the energy? When am I going to get the energy? So you never... Not you. I never get the time to restore any of my energy because my brain is always thinking about how can I undo this burnout laziness that shouldn't even be here. It's this belief that we shouldn't feel burnt out. It's a true belief that I have that I'm wrong and messing up and I shouldn't feel this way. That's the root issue. That's where the guilt comes in because then it comes into the, you're bad for being like that. And how many other moments have we had in our lives where we feel like we're doing something bad with binging, with, I'm not going to give any examples because I'm sure you already thought of one because you're so insightful and you're reflecting as you're listening to this. That's why I love all you all. That's why I love all you all because I know that you want to get to know yourself. And that's a big part of trying not to hate yourself is because you want to get to know yourself and you want to see it's not just I'm lazy. It's there's so many things we're going through and gaining through a new feeling. So when I'm feeling guilty about burnout, I need to take a step back and think, okay, what is this need to always feel bad? Feeling bad always feels like it motivated me. And it did, especially in college. I felt like completely lonely, lame, struggled with making friends, even though on the outside, I've always been very social, externally social. I've always been on social media and I have no problem being okay. I think I just had a lot of inner struggles that I never noticed. So the inner feelings of always trying to do well and perform well, they seep into a lot of aspects of your life and cause you to just be on the go, very autopilot, automatic, just got to get whatever needs to get done. And then you are left feeling really, really empty. And when you feel empty, you immediately want to fill that tank with anything. And a lot of times we feel like our tanks need to be filled with success and accomplishments, checking off to-do lists, having things that other people might perceive us as doing quote unquote well. But I think that my burnout has been signaling me to start noticing you really do like the fact that now you care to take care of yourself and your burnout is screaming at you to remind you that. Because it takes a lot of fucking energy for me to even care about going for a walk, to get myself off the couch, to not watch tons of freaking YouTube podcasts for 12 hours a day, to not just watch Netflix in my bed, laying with a heating pad on my stomach because I'm so constipated and stressed out because I'm just like a tense person. This is really what my life feels like most days. We don't realize how much energy it does take for us to do basic things. And I feel embarrassed almost to admit that sometimes I'm like, oh man, I really should, you know, jump in the shower. It might take me 2 hours to get to that energy level of, you know, getting undressed and jumping in the shower. I don't know if this is relatable at all. And it might sound like I just am extreme, but I really don't think so. And that's another layer of all of this is trusting that we're not the weird ones, trusting that you are not broken or flawed. I think we're just very hyper aware. And when you notice that things are hard for you, I take that as a win. Because when I was doing things on autopilot and very numbed out to just next thing, going through the motions of life and not really being aware or living, I honestly did not believe that it was difficult for me to do those things, but I definitely think they were. But I didn't care enough to sink down and feel anything. There really is something so cool about being sensitive and intuitive and being in tune with yourself. It's really easy to think that you're oversensitive and weaker, or any negative thought that comes to your mind when you don't like how you tend to notice stuff, it's truly a fucking superpower. And you know why it's a superpower? Because if you're relating to anything that I'm saying, if you were in front of me right now, I would just be melting and having goosebumps and my jaw would be on the floor if you said something back to me like I'm saying to you. It makes me so emotional. I'm not going to get emotional. It really does make me emotional when people understand me. And I think that's what's powerful, is when we allow ourselves to care for ourselves enough to not judge when thoughts and feelings come up. It's so cool how magical it feels to receive it. So it's so hard for us to realize, hey, if you were talking to your own self, you would just feel so comforted, right? You wouldn't, if there were two of you and one of you was like the friend, you wouldn't say, ugh, whatever you're going through, you better fix it right now. You shouldn't be burnt out. What's wrong with you? Come on, get it together. You would genuinely be proud of the fact that they notice it, and you would be so happy that someone gets you. The fact that you get me, the fact that I get you, the fact that I know I can speak this stuff into this microphone right now because I genuinely picture you getting it, that's power. That is incredible. I just think that it's scary for me to share these things because I'm also just noticing more and more. And that's why I just love therapy. That's why I absolutely appreciate and adore speaking to you. And I just want to encourage you to be okay with when burnout comes and notice that it's talking to you, not taking things away from you. It's truly trying to communicate things to you that you might not know about. other aspects of your life. And it's helping you actually probably take the time to consider prioritizing, shifting where you prioritize and put your tasks and attention to. A lot of us don't have that opportunity though, right? Most of my life, I had to just grind. I just had to go. I'm 27 now. This is the first year of my life that I didn't have to be terrified about money and stress and recovering from a horrifying breakup or recovering from family trauma as much. I've worked through so much of that where now I'm the priority. And a lot of us don't have the mental capacity or space to ever even take the time to sit down and not feel bad about feeling burnt out because you don't have a chance to slow down. And I want to make sure that you know that I feel you on that. And it's okay that you genuinely don't have the space or time for it. But you do have time and space to judge yourself a little bit less in that moment of when that mean voice comes in that judges you when you're feeling tired or stressed. You can do it. Even if you're not used to doing it, you can, you will, and I'm with you. Okay. I love you so much, my burnt out babes. We're in this together.